Hello and welcome to the Medicine Box, where we get you all things pharma and healthcare. I'm Ekta Batra. As we all know, one of the sectors that emerged as the backbone of COVID-19 was healthcare, from hospitals to diagnostic labs. But now, with the economy largely back to normal, what does life look like post the pandemic for hospitals as well as lab chains? Is non-COVID-19 revenue back to pre-COVID levels? Has CapEx restarted? Are new healthcare verticals such as telemedicine, home healthcare here to stay? And is an omni-channel platform the way forward? We speak to Dr. Ashutosh Raghuvanshi of Fortis Healthcare on all this and more. Dr. Raghuvanshi, hi. Welcome to The Medicine Box.
Thank you, Ekta. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, let's start by putting a context to this entire conversation. Occupancies have largely normalized. Non-COVID revenue is around 98% of the total sales which the company generated in the previous quarter. Can you give us a sense in terms of where things stand currently?
Yes. So third quarter, as you said, the occupancy numbers were good and everything was looking up. But the month of January was when the third wave hit us, and the occupancy numbers dropped down to about 50%. That started recovering by the end of the month, and January and in the month of February, there was a gradual recovery to coming back to near normal by middle of February. So currently the occupancy levels in our hospitals are hovering around 60% to 65%, but we expect them to go towards 70% over the next 1 or 2 months.
The previous quarter, your international patient revenue was up around 45 odd percent. So there has been some recovery that has taken place, but is it back to the pre-COVID-19 levels? Do you expect it to recover to those levels? And is the company also focusing on getting international travelers back, or is it more focused towards the domestic demand?
Yes. So the answer is not straightforward, because the numbers certainly have not come back to normal. But this phase also gave us an opportunity to focus on the local market, increase our community engagement around the hospitals, and that has worked well for us. Having said that, international business is an attractive part of business, and we had pre-COVID, we had about 10% of our revenues coming from international. So currently we are at about 70%. So that certainly should recover, and I expect that there should be a certain amount of growth in that as well. So we should see over the next two quarters going up to the 10% level, and maybe in terms of quantum, there should be a growth seen in the international business as well. But as a proportion of business, I don't think it is likely to go above 10%.
Okay, so it will probably stay at around 10% of total sales, but there is some room for improvement when it comes to international travelers. Would that tie into your average revenue per occupied bed as well? Because in the previous quarter, for example, it was up 18%. In any case, Fortis has higher average revenue per occupied bed as compared to the other larger players. Maybe it's in the top one or two at this point in time. So do you expect it to probably sustain at the levels that you did in Q3? Do you expect it to improve from those levels? What is your larger take on the average revenues?
So average revenue per occupied bed was at a good level in the third quarter, but that was mainly driven by the higher percentage of procedure and surgical care patients. So I expect it to sustain at similar level or moderate a little bit downwards as we go forward. I don't expect a very huge increase in the realizations as there is more and more normalization and more medical patients, and the smaller elective procedures start coming in. The ARPOB will be driven down a little bit. So I expect a little bit of moderation, not a very significant number, but it should be maybe 2 or 3 percentage points lower than what it is currently.
Okay. While COVID-19 itself might be over or negligible in terms of hospitalizations as well as diagnostics right now, Is there an emerging segment of post-COVID-19 complications, both from a business standpoint as well as from a medical standpoint? From a medical standpoint, to treat it as a segment, and from a business standpoint, probably in terms of post-care or even lab testing. Is that an opportunity emerging?
So certainly there is a very well identified clinical entity of long COVID. A lot of patients are having sequelae of COVID infections, and they are having long-term complications. So most of our hospitals, we have opened a post-COVID clinic, which addresses their post-COVID complications and related illnesses which they may have. Some people are developing blockages in the arteries and things like that. So all that is being taken care of through those clinics. But I don't think it will form a significant part of the business, because especially during the third wave in the Omicron variant, the disease was very mild, and the sequelae as a consequence of that is also mild. So it is not a very large segment, but I expect, as far as diagnostic is concerned, that some amount of testing will be there for quite some time, because we still are not completely out of the infection prevalence in the society. So I do expect that diagnostics should see some amount of testing going on for some period of time, till we are absolutely sure that this is behind us.
Okay. Many companies, in fact, took a lot of COVID-19 capex as well. For example, setting up new labs, getting new machines, maybe ICU beds. What are you doing with all of those investments? Are they being utilized elsewhere?
Yeah. So most of the infrastructure which was created additionally at that time is very useful anyways. So hospitals such as ours and other networks, they have a lot of work on the critical care side. So any areas which have been prepared for critical care, they would be well utilized, and that should not be a problem. One of the other expenses which we had to make in significant amounts was putting the PSA plants, the oxygen generation plants, in the hospitals. Now, that was something which we hadn't planned for earlier. But in the long run, if you see, that also is a cost-saving measure. And it makes the logistics of oxygen supply easier for the hospitals. So net-net, I think that is a gain, and that is infrastructure for future. And it's useful. So that part is certainly not any issue at all.
What is your exposure towards government? Because there are some hospitals which have complained about the receivables actually increasing from the government's table for COVID-19 revenue specifically. What has your experience been?
Yes. So you're absolutely right that there are certain challenges on that. However, I must say that, you know, that in the first lockdown phase, it was the proactive measures which the CGHS and others took, which kept our cash flows going well. So that way, I think we are not really complaining too much. But off lately, again, the payment cycles have become prolonged, and many hospitals are facing issues because of that, I'm aware, in the industry. This is primarily in the categories of CGHS, ECHS, etc. Otherwise, there have been no issues. So this has built up only in the last about 7-8 months. Before that, the cycle of payment was running very well. So this is again a phase. This has been a long-standing complaint of the industry. And I think with the changes which government has brought about in terms of the payment portals, etc., I expect that over the next couple of years, this should ease out.
Okay, well, a lot more questions for the Fortis management. Take a quick break and be back. Welcome back. You're still tuned into The Medicine Box on CNBC TV 18 in conversation with Dr. Raghuvanshi of Fortis Healthcare. there has been an improvement in the company's margins overall. Give us a sense in terms of where they could be headed, because you have also indicated that you would look at options on hospitals which have sub 10% margins. What is your overall guidance?
Yes. So we definitely would want all hospitals to move towards a 20% plus, at least at the operational EBITDA level. That is definitely the desire. We do have about many hospitals which are not in that category, and there are a few which are below 10%. But the reasons are a mix of various factors, not necessarily just the low yield business. So typically, we would prefer to take the low yield business in hospitals where the occupancy levels are low. And that way, you could sort of utilize your infrastructure and you could arbitrage your fixed costs, which you are going to incur anyway. But more than that, I think the larger question is that there may be some assets within the portfolio which have either any systemic problems or issues which are related to infrastructure, or there may be certain local conditions because of which we may not be able to have a meaningful operation. So those have to be evaluated in that light. And accordingly, we have to take a call on that. So there are a couple of hospitals in our network who have not been performing very well. Some of them form a strategic are of strategic importance because they are in important clusters and they bring in a kind of a advantage on the network level, in spite of the fact that individually they may not be performing so well. So we consider them in that light. But we are absolutely open about considering to think about certain assets which may not be performing too well as to what would be the future of them in our strategy.
Well, one of the big trends which emerged from COVID-19 for healthcare was the emergence of digital healthcare. Say from telemedicine to online consultation. And the other segment was home healthcare, where it was remote care provided to patients. Are these verticals still existent, or do you think that there's a future in these verticals post-COVID?
These are very important verticals, and they are integral part of the healthcare ecosystem. Unfortunately, before the COVID wave hit us, though there were many players in that space, but they had not achieved the kind of visibility which is required. And also they didn't have that kind of volume. So certainly that has been a golden lining in this dark cloud where these areas have come into focus. So they definitely have a future. Some of the learnings which we have seen is that, for example, the virtual consultations, they grew up disproportionately during the lockdown period and also during the second and third wave. But as soon as the situation starts normalizing, the numbers start going down. And some kind of consultations still remain in significant numbers. For example, mental health and counseling sessions, and as well as some of the chronic illnesses where people are consulting with the doctor on a regular basis. So those areas definitely will move more and more towards virtual consults. But the kind of work we do in case of tertiary and quaternary care, those consultations are not likely to move into a virtual environment. They will remain physical. So that is about that. But the home healthcare, especially the post-recovery, post-surgical recovery, rehabilitation services, I think there is a great future for that. And the players who are that in that space can definitely vouch for what I'm saying. And they must have seen a very rapid growth. And we do have collaborations with some of the players in that space. One area which we are specifically very focused on now is mental health. We have realized that mental health has been an area which has been quite ignored in the country. Because of that, the infrastructure has not been created. And this is one area where virtual consults can play an important role, but there is also a requirement for additional infrastructure and other services in the allied services in that space.
But are you looking at digital as maybe some of your peers, or are you looking at creating an omni-channel platform? How much are you willing to invest within the digital space? Will it be something which would be of formidable strength in competition with the PharmEasies or the Apollo 24/7s of the world?
So I would say that these business models are distinct models, though there could be comparisons done by the between the two players you mentioned, one could compare as to how they. But you have to see how they have evolved. One of them has evolved by having large number of physical pharmacies over almost three decades or so, and that has given them the strength to create a virtual platform on that. So that approach was totally opposite of the other player, where the digital pharmacies were the beginning of the enterprise. So there are multiple approaches, and none of them is wrong or right. But they are, there has to be a comprehensive business model. As far as we are concerned, we see ourselves today providing tertiary quaternary care. That is what we do. We don't have pharmacy services. We do have diagnostic services. So these components are there with us, which is the quaternary care and secondary care and the diagnostic. So first focus of our digitalization is to digitize what we do. And we are willing to do all the commitment which is required in terms of resources and energies to be able to become a completely digital organization as far as our interface to the patients is concerned. But that is not going to change how we are going to do the surgeries, because that is never going to go away. The biggest segment of the market which has the largest entry barrier is the hospitals. So that remains our focus, because that is our core anyways. So we are not going to go for an omni-channel kind of approach right now, but at the right time, as a global strategy of our principal our parent company, IHH, etc., we may consider at the right time as to what kind of strategy will be ideal, whether it should be pan-geographies or it should be India-specific, etc. Okay. But right now, the focus is to internally digitalize as much as possible.
So, that brings me to a larger question, Dr. Raghuvanshi. You did mention IHH, but what is the plan or the larger plan for IHH and Fortis? Because the view is that y'all are just, holding back when it comes to CapEx, y'all are holding back when it comes to aggressive growth, simply because of the pending Supreme Court order with regards to the open offer. Is that how one should look at it?
So we have not been holding back on any of our expansion plan. We had stated 3 years back that we would have organic plan, which is a brownfield expansion of 1,300 beds in the hospitals over the period of 3 to 5 years. That plan is absolutely on track. There were some delays in construction work and interior work because of the lockdowns, etc. But almost everything is on track, and we would have this capacity added anyway. So that was the first part of the growth. There are other developments which are to be kept in mind. If you remember, our debt level has come down to 621 crores at the net level, and that is a net debt to EBITDA ratio of 0.53 and debt to equity of 0.07. So that puts us in a very, very strong position to be able to consider a larger expansion inorganically. And we certainly are very open to that. And we have started evaluating various opportunities which are there or which may come in future. You're right that there are certain kind of mind blocks and perception issues because of of the Supreme Court outstanding issue. But since our operation has been very strong, and we have been able to sort of able to demonstrate that our cash flows have been continuously improving, our debt levels have been going down, that makes our balance sheet so strong that we have the confidence today that we can go for a much larger expansion than the organic kind of growth which we were doing for last 2-3 years. We have made very, very significant. We have not held back on any expansion. We have spent close to about 400 crores in last 3 years, as a matter of fact 503 crores for replacement capex and upgradation of our facilities. Sure. So we are not holding back.
I'm going to wrap up this conversation by asking you that there is this approval which the company has taken for rebranding to Parkway, at least for the hospitals. You might consider rebranding for SRL Diagnostics as well. When can we see that come through? Are you looking to rebrand considering now post-COVID, during COVID, you worked with the Fortis brand and hence, you know, that is probably embedded into patients' minds?
You're right, Fortis is indeed a very strong brand, but since there are challenges around it on the legal side, we will still have to take that call. In principle, we have decided to go ahead with the change of brand, but this is absolutely subject to the Honorable Supreme Court and whatever directions they give. Once that is out of our way, then certainly we will be moving on that path.
On that note, we're going to wrap up this conversation. It's always a pleasure. Thank you very much for joining in on the Medicine Box.